Good morning, it's good to be in church. There's no other place I'd rather be but church. I'm gonna move this back just a hair because I have a tendency to speak loud and I don't wanna blow anybody's eardrums out. But my name is Dale Morey, we're from Liberty Behind Bars Ministry. That's my wife, Amy Morey. We are a jail and prison ministry. I spent many years in jails and prisons myself in three different states. 13 years ago, the Lord saved me from that. Hallelujah, John Mark.
Amen.
The Lord stepped into my life and saved me, and now he's called me back into the jail and prison ministry, which we've been doing now. This may, I think, make 8 years of us going in and visiting men and women here locally in New York State, but also because of technology, we can now work with people across the United States. And we thank God for that opportunity, but I was asked to come in this morning to preach. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to open up God's Word, and we're going to preach the Bible the way God has us to do it. And I believe the Lord gave me a message for this morning. And I always thank God because there's times that I've gotten behind the pulpit, and I said, Lord, what am I supposed to preach? And I have no clue. But this morning, God gave me something probably about 2 weeks ago for this church. And so if you would turn with me to 1 John. 1 John. Look, I'm going to turn to a lot of Bible passages. You say, well, why do you do that? Because the Bible is important. It's the Bible that changes lives. It's the Bible that shows people what they are. It's the Bible that shows people what we need. And turning in the Bible is a very important thing. But if you're not fast at it, and I understand some may not be, then you just sit there and listen to what God has this morning. And if I would, John Mark, would you stand up and pray for the service before us, brother?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good day we have outside, God, as the man spoke of earlier. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for being in the house of God. I thank you for the opportunity to come here to Sandusky this morning, God. Pray that you give Dale the words to speak. In Lord Jesus Christ, pray, amen.
Amen. 1 John chapter 4 is where we're going to start. And we're just going to go around and see what the Lord has for us. In 1 John chapter 4, we'll start off in verse 9. And look what it says here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. It says, and this was manifest. That means this was made known. God is going to make something known to us, okay? And a lot of people today read their Bible and they have no clue what's being made known to them. But God in his mercy says, look, I'm going to give you something and I'm going to make it known to you. I'm not going to just put something out there and leave you to guess, okay? God doesn't leave us to guess. He'll give us the answer in the Bible, but sometimes it takes us searching that out. And look what he says in verse 9. He says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us. God is going to show us what his love looks like towards us. Ain't that something? God in his mercy, John Mark, is going to say, look, this is my love toward you. Not away from you. Not that you have to earn it. Not that you have to gain it. This is something he's given. It's something that he's made known to us. And he gives it to us.
Amen.
Man, what a glorious thing that is, that God in his mercy would look down from heaven at a wretch such as myself and say, Dale, here is my love being made known unto you. Here is something that you can see that I've given to you. And what does he say that is? He says in verse 9, that his love, because that he sent God, sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So what is God's love toward us? That he sent his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. Thank God that God has sent his Son that we might live.
Amen.
It didn't say that God sent his Son that we might die. He's given us life through his Son. And he's made this known through Jesus Christ. Through what God has given us. And many people don't even know that today. Here's what most people are looking for. They are looking for a physical way out of things. I have to go into the jails and prisons because they've only been told the physical change. Well, you know, God can take away your drinking. God can take away your this and God can take away that. But they've never been told where they're going to spend eternity. They've never been told, hey, the spiritual things outweigh the physical things. When God steps inside of a person, those outward things start going away. But they're not told that, brother. Only thing they're told is, well, God can take away this and God can take away that. There's much more important things than those two physical outward things. And God has made it known through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's made that know that there is a spiritual work inside of us that not only changes the inward parts, but it changes who we are on the outward. You know what people are trying to do today? They're trying to change the outward and say, well, it's because of the inward. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God wants the truth on the inward parts. God has never worked in this person's life on the outward parts. He's always working and dealing with people on the inward parts. Look at the life of Jesus Christ. And when he's dealing with somebody, what does he always do? He brings them back to the law. What's he doing bringing them back to the law? To show them their need. How do people think? When you walk up to somebody and say, would you like to hear the gospel? Well, what is the good news to them? They have no clue what the good news is. Why? Because they've never been brought under the law, under the condemnation of the law, to see that they even need a Savior. The good news is that in spite of everything we've ever done, Jesus Christ died for us. Amen. That's the good news. That's the gospel. But how do people know that if they've not been brought to the law to be shown, look, what they are in God's? Look it, God didn't save you because I was a convict. God didn't save me because I was a drug addict and somebody who went out there and lived a life of gain. That's not why God saved me. God saved me because I'm a sinner. I have a sin nature. And I'm looking, and I sinned against a holy God.
That's right.
It's not what I did against people. It's what I did against God, but today we're not showing that. But God says, look, here's the manifestation that regardless of what you've done, regardless of the lies you may have told, regardless of those things that you've done on the inward parts, a son has come to die for you. Hey, you ain't got to be a convict to get saved.
That's right.
Good church people need salvation. Amen. When I travel around, I don't just look around and go, well, everybody in here must be saved. No, that's not what I believe. There are people who have been in church for decades that are lost. And they need Jesus Christ just as much as me. How much more blood do you think it took to save me, John Marvin, than somebody who grew up in church? Zero. The ground at Calvary is level. Took the same blood to save a convict as it does a church person.
Right.
They don't understand that today, though. Why? They're not looking for the manifestation. They're looking for some physical thing. So my wife is working with somebody who is over 100 years old at this point. I think she's 101 years old or 100 or whatever. And my wife walked up to the lady and just said, man, when did you get saved? And the lady goes, I've just always grown up in church. And my wife goes, no, I'd like to hear about your testimony of you getting saved. And she goes, oh, I don't have one. She goes, I've just always grown up in church. The sweetest, kindest person on the planet is this lady. Without salvation, where do you think she's going to end up? God has manifested his love for that woman, but nobody's telling her. Nobody's showing her that love that's being manifested. They just believe because she just grew up in church that she's going to be okay. My children grew up in church. They're not here today. They're working part of the ministry. They have to pick somebody up, bring her to our church, and they'll bring her back home. But my two children grew up in church. But that didn't give them a free ride to eternity. They needed their own salvation. But people ain't seeing that today. People don't believe that today. Well, guess what? God has made himself manifest. His love, brother, has been made manifest to us. How? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. Just a page over. 1 John chapter 3. This is wonderful. What he's going to say here. Verse 16. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, hereby perceive. That word perceive means to regard or to become aware of, okay? He's going to make something of what you aware of something. He's already said he's going to manifest his love towards us, how that Jesus Christ has come and he's died for us. And he says now to perceive, that means to be made aware of. He says in verse 16, to be perceive that we the love of God. How are we going to perceive the love of God? It says because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How do we perceive the love of God? How is it made known to us that Jesus Christ came and he died for our sins? Now, most of you, I heard you in Sunday school over here, most of you have children. Did you have to teach your children how to do the right thing or the wrong thing? You have to teach them how to do the right thing. Why? Because they're born with a sin nature. That sin nature is what goes against God. There's never been a person outside of Jesus Christ that was born through a woman who naturally seeks God. They seek a religious thing. They get into a church family, and that family raises them, and they sit in a church pew their whole entire life, and they think that I have this thing called salvation, and they miss it. Why? Because they've never had their sin nature dealt with.
Right.
Never had it dealt with through the Word of God. The Bible says that we're saved through what? The Word of God. It shows us what we need. It shows us our need for a Savior. It says to perceive. That means to be made aware of. People aren't being made aware of today. They just look at people myself and I'm covered in tattoos, or if I had earrings in my nose, or my hair dyed, they look and go, that person needs Jesus. Oh, my friend, that's not the only person who needs Jesus.
That's right.
Joe Biden's not the only one who needs Jesus, by the way. Oh, by the Savior, look at Trump is not the Savior. You can vote for him all day, and that's fine. That's fine with me. I'm not a politician, but everybody thinks that because we're going to vote Trump in, that he's going to save the planet. He's going to say that's not going to happen, my friends. We're in the end times. Okay, it's only going to wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better. And let me just say this, by the way, Joe Biden got in office because God put him there. It says that God puts all power in office. Why? Because God has a judgment against America. Because why? They've turned their back on God. They've turned their back on Jesus Christ. We turned our back on God. And man, I'm just telling you this right now. Here's what's going on, Brother Carl. We can blame our government for a lot of things, but we cannot blame them for the depravity of our churches. That's the church's responsibility. And the churches have lost the guard. They've lost those men who said, we're going to stand and we're not going to be moved. And guess what? They've been moved now. That stand's no longer there. And there's how many churches we know that are closing?
Right.
How many churches, brother, that I know that do not have a pastor? Is it because of our president? No. It's because of us. We've lost that stand. We've given up. We've waved the white flag and said, go ahead. Brother, you made a statement this morning, brother, when you said, right now nobody has come into the church and told us we can't have church. My friends, that's coming. Even if Trump is in office, it's coming. Trump is not some religious guru out there. He's not some God who's a born-again Christian, no matter what he claims. He hates Christianity just as much. You know why he does that? Because he wants the votes. But there's hope, John Mark. And that hope is Jesus Christ.
Right.
He said that we may perceive this. It's been made known to us. How has it been made known to us? Through Jesus Christ. Or how do we see that? Through the Word of God. God has made it known to us through the Word of God. He's made known that love that was manifested unto us. Those who are lost. How many of you are out there witnessing to people like me? When's the last time any of you walked up to a biker and told them about Jesus? How about that one that's sitting in the grocery store that you know you're judging because of their appearance? How many of you told them about Jesus? Or how many? When that waitress messes up that order, did you tell her it's okay? Jesus loves you. I know that you're having a bad day. Can we pray for you? Instead of yelling at her, don't ever come out to dinner or lunch with me because I will not allow you to do that when you're sitting there. You ask my wife and my children, you are not. I don't care how bad that order is messed up. Don't you say a word, we're Christians. Eat it, you'll be just fine. It ain't going to kill you. And then we're going to leave the biggest tip that we can leave. Ask that person how we can pray for them and then leave them a gospel tract. Why? Because we have no clue what that person has gone through. But today, Carl, we don't do that anymore. All we do is judge the people. There was a time, and I look at most of you who are aged, and you know that time where you would have had a heart for those type of people. Where is that today? What happened to those generations 2 and 3 years ago that have not taught the generations that are here today? Wonder why our churches are closing? Because the men and women of old have forgotten to take that stand. And it's trickling down through us. This is what we get, Samantha. God help us. God, wake us up as Christians. One of my prayers every single morning is this: Lord, I pray for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And I say, Lord, I pray for those that are stuck in that government who want out, they just don't know how to get out of it. I pray that you would save them. But then I say, Lord, prepare us for what's coming. Prepare us. How's our faith? It's real easy to have faith right now sitting here, isn't it? It's comfortable. It's real easy to have faith here. But what's coming down the line, is your faith ready? Are we standing on the Word of God? Are we standing on the love of Jesus Christ that's going to get us through these things? And then why? Because we're living in perilous times. We're living in the last days. God help us to perceive. That means to regard the love of God. Why? Because He laid down His life for us. Ought we not to do that for others? Should we go out there and love the unlovable? I thank God, Brother Carl, that somebody came into prison and preached to me. I thank God that somebody came in, regardless of how hopeless I looked to the world. God didn't look at me as a hopeless case. Ain't that wonderful, Miss Samantha? When people look at you like you're a hopeless case, there's one who's given Samantha hope, and His name is Jesus Christ. There's one who's given John Mark hope, and His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When the world marks them off as hopeless, God says, that's when I want them.
Amen.
That's when I want them. Why? Because He raises them up, and He sets them straight. He puts them on that path. We thank God for that. Well, turn with me back to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to go back to verse 9. Look at what it says here. That this is manifested, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Why? Because that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might die. Not that we might live. Look, it's coming to that day and age where we may start dying for Christianity. But that's the easy part. Dying for Christ is a whole lot easier than living for Him. Yeah. Why? Because we know we're going off into eternity. So if somebody came up to me and put a bullet in my head, I'm out of here. Somebody says, aren't you afraid to go into those jail and prison? And those guys are going to, they may attack you and jump on you. What are they going to do, send me to heaven? I'm not afraid of heaven. I'm not afraid of what's going to come. But I'm telling you today, those things are going to come. Where do we stand? He says that we might live, even in perilous times. Isn't it as we watch those things crumbling around us and all this vileness and perverseness that are going on? I don't know about you, but I love lesbians and homosexuals. You go, what in the world is wrong with you? I didn't say I support what they do, but they need Jesus. And we are so busy judging them that nobody's out there witnessing to those people, and they're just dying and going to hell. That's a reality. You can't hand them a tract saying, hey, we're against gays and lesbians. No, you got to learn how to love those people. You got to learn how to get in there. I'm working with one right now, man, and she is brutal. She's a pansexual. And that means she dates couples. It's her and then a couple, a boy and a girl, and she dates them. You think I judge her for that? It's not my place to judge her. God to do that. But I'm trying to spare her that judgment. And I've learned how to get in her life in just little things at a time, little things at a time, little things at a time. And just the other day, I said, you know, remember this, that Jesus loves you and so do we. And she sent back a heart. Oh boy, we're making progress. We're making progress because that would have never happened. How about you? You know what the Bible says? If we have hope in us, why wouldn't we want to give that to somebody else? Why wouldn't we want them to have that same hope that is in us? What has happened to the people where they've lost the hope inside themselves? Maybe just some people don't have that hope, John Mark. Or maybe if they do have that hope, it's gotten put out. We need to raise up and go out there and tell the people of the hope that is inside it. Folks, I believe if you're saved, you have a hope inside of you that this world needs to hear about.
Amen.
Stop being selfish. Don't hold on to it. Go out there and let them know about it. How many old folks go and visit old folks in the nursing home? You know why God sent me back to the jails and prisons? Because I can relate to them. You old folks say, well, I'm too old, I can't do anything. Oh, there's old folks homes you can go share the gospel with, I can guarantee you that. They'll relate to you.
And they appreciate it.
And they appreciate it. Why? Don't they need to see the love of God that we have, that hope that is in us? You go, man, you're being awfully mean. No, I'm just saying the truth. I'm just preaching God's word because people need to see Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm just here to glorify Jesus. That's all. Is there anything else better to talk about than Jesus Christ? No. Not a single thing in this world.
Yep, today many people are blind to the love of Jesus Christ.
That's right, brother. Blind. Well, he says that we might live through him. Turn with me to John chapter 6. Let me just show you something here. John chapter 6. Talk about his disciples here. He's talking to them. Gets in a conversation with them. Many of the disciples walk away. And Jesus Christ says this in John chapter 6, and we'll go to verse 67. John chapter 6 and verse 67, after he's done talking from his disciples, he says that in verse 66 is from that time, many of his disciples then went back and walked no more with him. And then Jesus said unto the 12, we also go away. My friends, look at Jesus Christ is going to ask you a question today. This question that he's asking these people as he's sitting there is the same question that he's asking you folks that are sitting here today. He said, will you also go away? In verse 68, and then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Hallelujah.
There is nowhere to go outside of Jesus Christ. There is nowhere else outside of Jesus Christ that a person can go to for eternal life. But let me ask you this. There are many who used to sit in these pews amongst you who are still alive who aren't here today. Where are they? Where have they gone? Are they still serving Jesus Christ? Are they out there in another church? Are they somewhere? But Jesus Christ said, will you also leave? Have we just said, I'm too old for this, I've done enough, and then we just crossed our arms and sit back and say, well, I'm going to let a younger generation take over. My friends, can I see a younger generation in this church? Where are they? Where is the younger generation? Where have they gone? Jesus Christ is the one with eternal life. Then where is the younger generation in the churches? Miss Bonnie, every church that I go to, unfortunately, with the exception of a few, it's full of young, older people just like yourselves. There's no younger generations anymore. They're gone. So don't we get them in church today? Don't we go out there and give them the hope that's in Jesus Christ? You know, there's drug dealers out there. There's drug addicts out there. There's convicts out there. There are people who don't fit what your frame. But I wouldn't just go visit those type of people. You know what Jesus Christ said? If you don't go visit them, it's like you're not going to visit me. Jesus Christ likes those that are out there in the highways and the byways. Why? Because they need to know about the love of Jesus Christ. They need to know that there's a hope for them outside of what this world has to offer. Hey, we can just look around. I'm pretty sure you're smart people. And let me just say, how well are the programs working out there helping these people? How well has it gotten them off the drugs? How well has it kept them out of jails and prison? How well is it working? You know what's kept me out of jail and prison? You know what delivered me from a 15-year opioid addiction? Do you know what delivered me from being a gang member? The King James Bible, church, and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is zero other answer.
Right.
Zero. Nothing else will work.
Right.
I did it. I did it in 3 different states. I was in mental hospitals, rehabs, boys' homes, jails. Let me tell you, their programs don't change a person. You know why? Because their heart's not changed. They're just putting a band-aid on the outward appearance. But I'll tell you right now, the Word of God gets in there and it stirs things up and it rips that band-aid off and it starts squeezing that pus out of that thing. It gets all that stuff out of there, and then guess what? It's healed permanently by Jesus.
Amen.
How many times do you think I went back to jail or prison after I got saved?
Right.
Do I just have a special Jesus that only changes me? Oh, you hit a point in your life where you think, well, I'm this age now. Oh, no, there's never a time when we hit a point where we stop growing. You know when we'll stop growing, Miss Bonnie? When we hit eternity. We'll be in heaven, oh, Jesus. We don't need that anymore. But how about that hope? God is asking the question this morning, where will you go? Will you go? Oh, no, he's the one who has eternal life. It's in Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Look what it says here. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Because a lot of people are stuck in this thing that they believe they have to change all these things in their life before Jesus Christ to save them. And that's not the truth. You just come as you are. Now, things changed in my life as a lost person as I was seeking. But a lot of people confuse that, and they come up with this lordship salvation. And what is that? That means you have to get all this stuff out of your life, then try to come to Jesus. He died for sinners. He didn't die for the righteous. He died for those who were vile. He died for those that are lost and without him. He says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. You just come as you are. He said, just come. That's what it says in the book of Revelation. Just come. What does that mean? Oh, wait, Lord, I have to get all this stuff out of my life, and then I'll be right with you. No, he just says, come. Because he can take care of the rest. And look what it says here in Romans chapter 5. And we'll go to starting verse 8 in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commended. You know what that word commended means? He recommended. But you see, there's an ETH on the end of that, and it's very important to understand, if you have a King James Bible, that ETH is very important because it means it's something that continues to happen. And so God didn't just commend or recommend his love towards us one time. It's a continual thing. For salvation and then after salvation, God didn't lose his love for us. He said, I'm going to love you. I'm going to hang on that cross. And after the cross, that's it. No, he's going to continue to do this. Well, I know I need his love every day.
Right.
And when I realize that, when I mess up, because, man, I mess up, that God still loves me. And that was very hard for a person like me to accept love, because everybody that ever told me they loved me hurt me. They stabbed me in the back or violated me and did nasty things to me that shouldn't have been done. Then I had to learn, what is this love of Jesus? Because I always thought, brother, that this, here's another one. Jesus, all he wants to do is hurt me. All he wants to do is punish me. And that's not the truth. That's the farthest thing from the love of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. It's a blessing. When he corrects me, it's a wonderful correction. Why? Because he cares for me enough to do it. And you know what? I always end up in a better place than when I started. Isn't that good? It's wonderful. Well, look what he says, that God commendeth his love toward us. You see that? Not away from us, but toward us. His love is actually being cast towards us. It's being given to it. He's willing to give love. Man, if lost people could just understand that he's given the love towards them. He's not asking them for anything in return. He says, look, this is my love. I'm going to recommend my love towards you. Here it's going towards you. Now you have to earn it. You got to do this. You got to say this certain prayer. Get on your knees 15 times. Stand up. Do jumping jacks. Stand your hand in the corner. None of that. He says that his love is recommended. It's commended towards us. And let's go on and see what it says here. He says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were clean, while we got everything right in our life, no, God, while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. While we're his enemy, while we're out there living that life that was vile against God, you could be the cleanest person in this room. You didn't have to drink or do drugs or smoke or cuss out of your mouth to be guilty before God. We're born guilty. We're born with a sin nature. We're born contrary to God. And only Jesus Christ can fix that. And why? Look at, when we came out of our mother's womb, we were enemies against God. It was then, Miss Samantha, that he died for us. While we were enemies, how many enemies have died for you? Let me ask you a question, Brother John. How many of your enemies are you willing to die for? But Jesus Christ, while we're still enemies, died for us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? What a thought that Jesus Christ would even think of us. That's a love. And it goes on, and it says this, in verse 9, it says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Verse 10, for if we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. Thank God for that. While we're his enemies. While we're his enemies, Christ said, I'll die for them. You know why God stayed at the cross, Miss Charlene? Because he saw our faces. Do you know he could have called a legion of 10,000 angels, John Mark? Do you know that one angel has the strength of 10,000 men? One angel. He could have called 10,000 angels to take him off that cross. Why don't you go ahead and multiply that and tell me how strong and how much havoc that would have wreaked across that region. But you know what he chose? To stay on that cross. You know why, Miss Bonnie? He saw our faces. His love. Said, I'll stay for us, John Mark. Two vile people.
Thank God.
That he would stay on the cross. He said, I can call 10,000 angels, but I'm going to stay because of you. I'm going to stay because I love you, and my love has driven me to stay on that cross. Regardless of what you've done, I know you've done all these against me, and I know you're an enemy, and all the tattoos, I'm covered in tattoos, and every one of my tattoos are vile. They go against God. They go against everything that he is. Matter of fact, I used to write songs about killing Mary and chopping her up on the table of sacrifice, and here Jesus Christ has got me preaching his Bible.
Amen.
How about that? I used to be a Satan worshiper. Read the book of Necronomicon, written by Anton LaVey, trying to cast spells on people. And yet Jesus Christ saved me and gave me the ability to preach his word.
Amen.
Why? Because he loved me when I was an enemy. Not because I was a good boy or a good person. But I'm going to tell you this now. A lot of people stay lost because they're caught up in this. Well, I'm a good, law-abiding, tax-paying citizen.
Yeah.
And their goodness has blinded them to the need for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
God forbid if we don't go out there and tell them their need for Jesus Christ. You ain't got Jesus, you're his enemy. And there's no two ways about it. We got 6-7 minutes, and we're going to go ahead and keep going for a few more minutes. 1 John, back to 1 John, chapter 5 this time. Well, 1 John chapter 5. We'll start in verse 11. You see a pattern here that God is, he wants us to perceive. He wants to make these things manifest. And now we see in 1 John, chapter 5 and verse 11, look what he says here. And this is the record. God gave us a record. God didn't say, I'm God and you are people and you're just going to try to figure this thing out yourself. No, God gave us a record. He gave us something that we can understand. He gave us something that we can perceive, that we can start knowing. Why? Because God in his mercy, even as enemy, when I was his enemy, I read his Bible. And guess what he started doing? He started showing me things in the Word of God. He started giving me an understanding so that I knew who he was. Why? It's his record. This is God's record, not man. I do not believe this Bible to be the Word of God because somebody wrote something about it. I believe that this to be the Word of God because of what's in it. Some man didn't convince me through a book that I could believe this. God convinced me on the inward parts that that's his Bible and that I can believe it for his word.
Amen.
That's why he gave us a record. If you keep a record of something, you're keeping track of it. God has given us a record.
Amen.
How good is that? Man, what a wonderful God
to give us a record. But look at it goes on to say, and this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. How did he give us eternal life? And his life was in his son. Again, for the third time, we're hearing about where is life. And why has God given us an understanding? He's manifested things. He's allowed us to perceive that life is in Jesus Christ. I've never seen a person who's truly got born again live like they're dead. But they live like they have life, even when they're going through things. Even when they're struggling. Why? Because he's come in and he's given us life. Paul said this. He said that in Galatians chapter 2:20, I'm going to misquote it. I'll turn it real quick. I just want to read Galatians 2:20. Here's what Paul said about his new life. You can just stay where you're at. Let me find Galatians 2:20. Maybe. There it is. He says this. I am crucified with Christ. That means he dies daily to himself. I am crucified with Christ. That means, Dale, I'm going to hang my old life on that cross. That's not who I am anymore. When people look at me, they may see the tattoos and such, but that's not who Dale Moore is, because now I have Christ inside of me, and I've crucified who I was on that cross with Jesus Christ. Those things are gone. They're finished. And that's how Paul lived his life. Paul didn't live his life as a Christian murderer, and as a Jewish hierarchy, as a Pharisee. That's not how he lived. He said, that life is over with. It's gone. And now today, I live in that new life. And he says this in chapter verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That didn't say my faith. Faith of. That means there's another faith that's being talked about here. That's the faith of Jesus Christ in us, but that he gives to a person, according to Galatians 3:22, Romans 3:22, that God gives saving faith to those who believe. Now Paul is living by the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's the faith inside of him. Your fleshly faith will doubt. But your saving faith that's in you in Jesus Christ will never doubt.
That's right.
That's a reality. There are times I go, man, Lord, I'm not sure about this situation, and there's a peace inside of my heart that can't be shaken. It can't be explained, and I just know that I know that I know that's Christ in me. Because that faith never existed until I got saved almost 13 years ago. And I thank God that that's the same faith that Paul is talking about here. He's talking about that his new life is in Jesus Christ. Well, thank God for it. What a wonderful blessing to know that Jesus Christ has given us his saving faith. He says, we have the same spirit of faith. And, you know, Jesus Christ says, I have spoken because I believe, or something to that effect. Therefore, I have spoken because I believe. And that's the same spirit of faith that Jesus Christ gives to us. Well, let me close up. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. Plain and simple. Here's the record. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And verse 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Plain and simple. It doesn't get any easier to understand the Bible. Look, I didn't grow up with a Bible in my house. My mother never brought us to church. I did not know Jesus Christ or God outside of his name being a curse word. Okay, I've never, ever had a Bible in my home. My mother never, ever brought us to any kind of services whatsoever. The first time I ever heard about Jesus Christ was when I started going into institutions. Father Baker's Boys Home out there in Buffalo, New York. That's where they sent me when I was a young kid. And in there was the first time I heard the name Jesus outside of the cuss word. It was in there, John Martin, that God continued through the years to plant that seeds. And to water them. I didn't get saved in prison. It was a few years after I got out of prison. I forget, 9 years after I got out of prison, I ended up getting saved. Pastor John Asquith came up. He said, I'm the new pastor at the Black Creek Baptist Church. I said, good, I'm saved. I'm smoking cigarettes. I'm drunk. I'm addicted to pornography. I'm abusing my wife and children. I said, saved man. I made a profession. Profession is not salvation. Jesus Christ is.
Right.
Profession almost sent me and my wife to hell. We sat underneath the preaching of the Word of God, and God stirred in our hearts, and we realized we're lost.
And it got into our lives 12, almost 13 years ago. That's not been the same. God has changed us. Our whole world has changed. Our focus on the world, our focus on the Bible has changed. Why? Because God in his mercy, he left us a record. And he says, if you'll believe this record, if you'll believe what has been written about Jesus Christ, there is a salvation. Not just for life here on earth. Brother, you know what the problem is? People aren't thinking about eternity. Because they're looking for a quick fix. We are a microwave generation. But nobody's thinking about eternity. And they say things with their mouth. I'm going to close with this here. As I stood to get sentenced in front of Honorable Judge McCarthy, I'm standing there in handcuffs, and I got the cuffs are running up from my feet, and I'm standing there before them, and I was facing 12 and a half to 25 years. As I stood there, he said, Mr. Moore, we're gonna give you a deal. Deals are good, right? We're going to give you a deal. And that deal is you're going to have to do a such and such time. And I was like, wonderful. He says, but in order for you to get that time, you have to admit to all things known and unknown. You have to plead guilty to all things known and unknown. I said, man, I am ready to do that. And as I stood there, he said, you go ahead and do that now, Mr. Morey. And with my mouth, Miss Bonnie, with my mouth, I said I'm guilty. But in my heart, I stood there and said, not guilty. Right. And that's what people are doing with salvation. Somebody comes along and offers them some good deal. And with their mouth, who wants to go to hell? They don't even know the reason why they would go there. Why would you go to hell? What do you need to be saved from? What is it exactly you think that you need to be saved? Do you know when I go into the jails and I ask them, what is Bible salvation? Not one of them can tell me, but they all have it. Right. And then I ask them this. Why did my Jesus change me and yours hasn't changed you? Because the world is promising them a religious Jesus, and this Bible is going to give them the real thing. And this is what we go on there and preach and teach to those men and women, the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your time. I appreciate that.